If ending babies' lives in their mothers' wombs isn't heartbreaking enough, the Biden-Harris administration punishes those who protect life, including up to 10 years in jail. And in a shocking stance, the Dems' VP nominee, Walz, supports infanticide, meaning the death of newborns. When will this madness end? Preborn's network of clinics is positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country on standby to protect and love mothers facing unplanned pregnancies by introducing a woman to her baby through ultrasound and showering her with God's love. Her baby's chance at life doubles. If you're pro-life, please consider a donation of any size to support the mission of Preborn. All gifts are tax deductible and will help to defend the defenseless. One ultrasound is just $28, or five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 will sponsor ultrasounds for Preborn's entire network for a day. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250. B-A-B-Y, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. preborn.com/AFR.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Good afternoon and welcome to Exploring the Word. I'm Jim Stanley. It's my privilege to be in for Brother Bert Harper today, and I'm joined by my good friend, Dr. Alex McFarland. Good afternoon, Alex.
Hello, Jim Stanley. How have you been, brother?
I've been well, thanks. How about you?
Well, blessed. Bert and I have been going through the book of Romans, and that's good. And it is good to have you back. You have graciously filled in many, many times over the years when we were, you know, traveling or something. And maybe I've missed it, but I don't think you've been on Exploring this in a few months, have you?
No, it's been a minute. You know, I had some physical trouble myself, and so I wasn't always here when you guys needed me. But I tell you, you know, if it was up to me and I had to listen to me or Jeff Shambly on the radio, I can tell you, I'd choose Brother Jeff. He's just an awesome guy, and man, he knows more about the Bible, or has forgotten more about the Bible than I'll know. But so yes, sir, he does a really good job, and but I'm still here to pinch hit whenever you need me.
Well, amen. I appreciate that. Jeff Shambly, by the way, leads the Stand. I know the podcast for the Stand. Also commonly referred to as the AFA Journal.
Right.
And there's a lot online and in print, but also on the airwaves. And Jeff is great. And I know, Jim Stanley, I speak for much of America when I say welcome back. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you. Hey, it's interesting you mentioned the Stand, because it just so happens I have a hot off the press copy for October. And you know, we were just talking a little bit ago that October, it's just right around the corner now. But I wanted to point out that they have got some really good articles in there. They always do. But Ed Vitagliano, one of our vice presidents here at AFA, he has a super good article in there this month. And then Baruch. I didn't spasm there. I got Brent's attention in here, but Baruch Corman, he has a program that we listen to on Saturdays, and so this month he has an article in the journal talking about Yom Kippur, and again that was Baruch Corman. The program's called Lost in Translation, and you can hear it here on American Family Radio on Saturday afternoons. I just wanted to point that out. And so, you know, it really is good. Now, this one hasn't made it to the online version yet. So this one, I checked just a little bit ago. It should be up there before too long. But Ed's article is talking about America, splintered, spiraling, and suffering. And, you know, Alex, earlier today, you and I were chatting and you prayed for America. And when I saw that, it reinforced the prayer that you did today. And so it's pretty, it's good stuff in there. And I got that just a little bit ago. So that's the stand.
Well, yeah, I want to give a shout out. We're going to get in Romans 9 in just a second, folks. We'll pick up at Romans 9:24. Saturday, 2 days ago, I had the privilege in North Carolina. There was a big gathering of churches and Christians from all over called Pray NC. As in Pray North Carolina, and we just spent, it was going to be 2 hours, it ended up being almost 3 hours, but there were hundreds of people of every conceivable background, and we just were praying for our nation, and we were praying for unity in the body of Christ. It was very special. And Jim, people from all over North Carolina, even from about 50 miles north of here, Danville, Virginia, just across the state line, but people were coming, and they said, hey, we surely do love AFA. We learn so much from all that is the American Family Association. And by the way, last week I had the privilege of guest hosting today's issues for 4 days with Ed Vitagliano. He's brilliant. I know we pick and laugh and cut up, but no kidding, Ed is just brilliant. And whenever you get a chance to read what he writes, it is well worth your time. So I'm glad to hear that... when the AFA Journal hits mailboxes, there's a big article by him.
Yeah. You know, around here, we call him Batman.
Really, Batman? Yeah. Okay.
I don't know how that got started, but whenever we see him every now and then, it's, hello, Batman. So
hello,
anyway.
Batman. Well, let's get back to Romans 9.
Yeah. If you don't mind, I'd suggest going back to about 22. Because I know you guys ended up on 23, but to kind of get the context of that.
Well, you know, let's lay some foundation. And one of the great things about the book of Romans has been salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. And there is a lot, some of the words we've gone over are righteousness, that when you put your faith in Jesus, God declares you righteous. Here's another word, justification, that we are made right in the eyes of God through faith in Jesus. In God's eyes, we are justified. And in a way, there's been a lot in chapter 9 that I would say speaks to the sovereignty of God. I'll even go back to like verse 12, the elder shall serve the younger. Now, God raised up Abraham and Sarah and said, look, we're going to send a child of promise. But they ran ahead of God, and they had a child with Hagar the servant girl, and that was Ishmael. But though Ishmael was born first, it would be Isaac that would be the child of promise. And through the lineage of Abraham, Sarah, then Isaac, the Jewish people came, ultimately King David, and then ultimately the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And there was talk about Jacob and Esau. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, before I get us over there to verse 22, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured much longsuffering with vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. So, Jim, last night I was in Western North Carolina doing an open Q&A, and a listener was there. There were a lot of listeners there. Somebody said to me, how do you reconcile the sovereignty of God but the free will of man? And I said, well, I don't know that I can, in human language, reconcile them, although I know the Bible is clear on both, that Almighty God is providentially in control.
Good word.
Yet, we are responsible. God is sovereign, but we are accountable. And I think there's both of those that are clearly presented in God's Word, don't you?
I do. That the way you said that, was very well said. And, you know, because we had an email from a listener last week that that was talking about that very same thing. And, you know, there are some questions that we get at word@afr.net. I don't mind trying to answer. And then there are others that I'm smart enough to leave alone. But it's one of those things, you know, that sometimes it seems confusing. It seems contradictory, but the Bible does not contradict itself. Even here, you know, God's not contradicting himself. He hasn't changed his mind, but the way it reads sometimes, it may seem like he has. Because, you know, he called them not his people, as you just mentioned, where he's quoting from Hosea. And there in verse 25, and I'm reading from the New King James, I will call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called sons of the living God. Alex, how cool is that? That we weren't, not only were we as Gentiles not his people, we weren't even close to it. You know, I mean, we were literally standing outside looking in. But oh, but for the grace of God and the majesty of the New Testament, we have, as you said earlier, when we come to know Christ as Savior, then we are his people. And, it, you know, it goes back to, just like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, not individuals, but the world. And his son died once for all of us. And so that's kind of exciting to me, that we go from not being his people, that we shall be called the sons of the living God.
Yeah, amen. And you've got to understand, to an observant Jew in the first century, the idea that the profane Gentiles could get saved or be grafted in, that was just a really kind of hard thing for them to get their mind around, if not rejected altogether. Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to, within a couple of days or so, get to Romans chapter 11, Romans 11:24, where it talks about the Gentiles were grafted in. Mm-hmm. We know that Abraham and the seed of Abraham, the Jewish people, and the Messiah of Israel, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, Jesus is the true vine. And the idea that Gentiles, not people of the covenant, could be grafted in, that was just mind-boggling. But praise God, without contradicting his word, without contradicting the promises made to Abraham and his seed, certainly without compromising his nature, God got it all done. Hey, let me just say this, and we're going to read Romans 9, but we use this phrase a lot nowadays, multitasking. You know, I was doing this, this, and this simultaneously. I was multitasking. God is the ultimate multitasker. Mm. You know, he upheld his righteous law, and yet he manifested his mercy. He is sovereignly in control of the universe, and yet we have free choice. God offers salvation, and his Holy Spirit calls us, but he doesn't force it. And Israel is the oracles of God were committed to the Jews, and God's promises to the nation of Israel will come to pass in spite of their 2,000-year disbursement. And yet all these things, Jim, when I read about all that God does and not one jot nor tittle of his word ever fails, amen. God has a 100% track record of keeping his promises. God is the ultimate multitasker, isn't he?
He sure is, you know, because think of how many people there are in the world, how many proclaim to be Christians, and the time spent in prayer, being able to hear and listen to all of that. You know, I mean, hey, I try to keep track in a conversation nowadays, and if there are more than two or three people in the conversation, I'm out. Yeah, I just I don't
I'm
keep
with
up.
You, man.
But God does, and it's amazing. Paul goes on to quote Isaiah here in verse 27. Isaiah also cries out concerning Israel, though the number of, and this is why I was thinking about all the prayers that he hears, though the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, the remnant will be saved. Alex, when we come back from the break, I want us to talk about that remnant and what it means and how that will help fulfill the Word of God. Folks, you're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. I'm Jim Stanley in for Brother Bert Harper this week, sitting in with Dr. Alex McFarland, and we'll be back on AFR.
We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com. The praises don't stop, the devil's been dropped. Got some good news coming straight from the top. You saved me from the fire, lifted me higher. Feeling so good, gonna sing it with the choir. The king is alive.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word, Alex and Jim Stanley. So glad you're listening. We are in Romans chapter 9. And hey, let me say, besides the Word of God, and we do our best to give good teaching, Jim, I happen to think Brent Austin gives us some of the best bumper music in all of radio. We have really good, we call it the rejoin, the music that brings us back. It's always great.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. You can tell the difference in the personalities there. You remember when Devin was our producer, and he did a great job. But and I'm guilty of it myself because I was helping. A lot of our songs tended to sway more towards the Southern gospel.
And I like that too.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, there's a good mix. But, yes, sir, I was kind of sitting over here. That kind of got me going, so I was really glad of that. But, yeah, no, he does a great job. Speaking real quick of folks that do a great job, Alex, you do a great job when you come to people's churches and have – clinics on apologetics, or just come and help with a revival service, or where you take and have evangelistic meetings. Tell us how we can get you to our church.
Well, you are so kind. Just email me. My email is super easy, alex@alexmcfarland.com. It'll come straight to me. And I will email you back. I would love to come. By the way, I've got to mention that coming up very soon, October 4 through 6, I'll be in Bella Vista, Arkansas. I know we have a lot of listeners there at Bella Vista Baptist Church. And I do a lot of times I'll teach like apologetics and biblical worldview, but very often I'll preach a revival or do evangelistic preaching or evangelism training. So listen, let's talk about the event that would meet the needs of your people. Now, let me say this, and I'll be very brief. Next summer, I'll be at the Cove twice for 18 years, and to God be the glory. I've been invited to the Cove, which is the Billy Graham Training Center in Western North Carolina. Never had this before. They invited me to come twice. So excited. And part of the reason I wanted to mention this, the registration just went live last week. Now, folks, listen to this. And I realize this is a long way out, but it makes a great Christmas gift. July 18 through 20, I'll be at the Cove teaching the book of Job. See, every time I ever go to the Cove, they always ask, Will Graham says, I want you to teach a book of the Bible. Like I finished up 1 John this past summer. But I'll be doing the book of Job, and we'll talk a lot about the problem of pain and suffering. Why is there pain and suffering in the world? Then later on, July 28 and following, I and a wonderful brother named Jay Warner Wallace, Jim Wallace, we've been asked to do a session on apologetics and defending the faith. So if you go to the website, thecove.org, you'll find my name in the space bar. And when we're at the Billy Graham Center next summer, hey, we'd love to see you.
Amen. But, you know, you mentioned that it'd be a good Christmas gift. Well, next month is Pastor Appreciation Month. And Amen. Maybe there are some churches that hadn't decided what to get their pastor. That would be a great, because let me tell you, just being on that mountain, brother, that when you walk on there, it really gives you the feeling of walking on holy ground.
You've been to the Cove?
Yes, sir, I have, and it's amazing. But it's just, it really is a place where you can be alone with God. And then the teaching that goes on as well. And Alex, I know you'll do a good job. So yeah, if you don't have anything planned for your pastor yet, go ahead and get them registered for that and tell them, hey, we've got you covered. We want you to go and get a break.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Well, let's talk about the remnant here in Romans 9.
A remnant, and of course, Paul, like you mentioned, he quotes Hosea, he quotes Hosea also. It says, Isaiah cries concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Now, that's because a remnant responded to the message of the gospel. Mm. God always has a people. Jim, I believe that when it says whosoever will may come, I really believe that means whosoever will.
Amen.
Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, Romans 10:13. But the sad fact is, while a lot of people know about Jesus, not everybody really becomes a follower of Jesus. Not everybody accepts the gift of salvation that he offers. Verse 28, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. In other words, there's going to be a time when the opportunity to be saved comes to an end. Now, I'm going to unpack a word in verse 29. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. Now, this is not the word Sabbath, S-A-B-A-O-T-H. Martin Luther used that word in his great song, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. It means the Lord of Hosts. A lot of people, maybe they'll read this and say the Lord of Sabbath. No, the Sabbath, that's the day of rest. But this is Lord Sabaoth, which means Almighty God, the Lord of Hosts. He's got this seed. And last week we talked about the foreknowledge of God. God knows who will accept. God knows who will reject. And yet that doesn't compromise our free will nor our responsibility to respond in the affirmative to God's revelation of himself.
Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, you were talking about the word and how it means Lord of Hosts. Sometimes it's used in a military sense where it talks about the army of heaven. And so, you know, when we look at that, we know that God smote Sodom and Gomorrah. And we in America, you know, you and I have talked about this before, that I think that we're coming close to where we deserve punishment, if you will. Mm-hmm. But by the grace of God, and I really believe the remnant of believers in America is the only thing staying his hand. And so when we talk about the armies of God, we want them on our side, don't we?
We do. We do. Jim, when we were in Nashville at NRB, National Religious Broadcasters, back in February, Bert and I sat down with George Barna and interviewed him. And he was talking about the fact that there might be 120 million born-again adults in America. That's a lot of people.
Yep.
That's a third of the country. But of those, only one-third are even registered to vote. Maybe 40 million adults that are Christians. But of those, maybe only half of those even do vote. But Barna said, of those that vote that are born-again Christians, a very few have a consistently biblical worldview. And let me just say this, and I don't want to get us off track because there's something wonderful in Romans 9:30. But here is the thing, folks. This is a challenge that we all should rise to, and that's to make God's word our authority. Look, when it comes to moral issues, salvation, even the priorities of life, economics, leadership, how to run the local church. It is just imperative that we follow what the Lord says in His Word. In other words, let the Bible inform your positions and your perspectives, and then consistently hold. That's one thing at AFA that we try to be as out front with as we possibly can, and that is we sincerely believe it is imperative to have a biblical worldview. And if we did, and if we lived it, and yes, voted it, it would save our nation.
Mm. Amen. You know, you're talking about something wonderful coming up in verse 30, there in the ninth chapter of Romans. It says, "What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. But Israel, mm-hmm. pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame.'" I think that's an interesting phrase there, and those three verses and how they read. Alex, that is the whole promise right there, isn't it?
It really is. You know, Jim and I, it seems like we always talk about music because I love music. I'm not really all that musical, but I do love music. And I know, weren't you a song leader at one time?
I was. The church was hard up.
You know? Did you ever sing Rock of Ages,
yes,
Cleft
sir.
For Me? There's a line in that song, and it is profound. "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling."
Mm.
And see, it talks about there in, first of all, in verse 30, the Gentiles that were not the covenant people of God, nevertheless, could attain righteousness by faith. You know, in the Old Testament even, because we get this question, how did people before Jesus get saved? By faith. Now, in the Old Testament, Jew and Gentile, in faith, they looked to the Messiah that would come. In faith, we look back at the Messiah that did come. Same Jesus, just two different sides of the cross. Now, Israel, not all, but there's a remnant of true believers, they had the promises of the coming Savior, and Habakkuk says you'll be made right with God by faith, and yet by the time of Christ, they were very legalistic, and they were trying to attain righteousness by the keeping of the law. And you know, legalism even exists to this day, Jim, and it's by faith, not works. It's by Christ's work, not our work. And verse 32, And by the way, this is a warning even to people today. They sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. Jim, in some ways, do you ever think that people maybe almost miss the gospel or stumble right past it because to the human mind it seems too easy?
Absolutely.
Jesus, the perfect Son of God, paid it all on the cross.
Absolutely. But yes, sir.
What do I got to do? Believe in Him.
Mm-hmm.
But what else? Just believe in Jesus.
Yeah, I've got a study open in one of the quotes there. Sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you. But it has this there, and it says, "Are humans saved by, one, God's sovereignty, two, by God's mercy and the Messiah's finished work, or three, by an act of personal faith?" Alex, what's the answer?
I would say D, all of the above.
That's right. Exactly. Yes, sir.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. Hey, you know, we talk about this from time to time, and sometimes we take it for granted because we know we have a lot of listeners, and we're always glad to have those listeners. But since this emphasis is on salvation and on the rock that will cause offense, but the rock we know also is Christ, would you tell people, please, sir, how they could come to know Christ as Savior.
Wow, Jim, wonderful. You may be listening today, and I want to say this is no accident that you're tuned into the American Family Radio Network right now. If you want to make sure that you are right with God, saved, forgiven, your name is in God's book, you know, you can do that right now in just about the next minute to minute and a half. ABC, admit that you're a sinner, believe in Jesus, and then call his name and ask him. Now, to admit that we're a sinner, and the Bible says in Romans 3:23 that we have all sinned. Look, I'm a sinner. Now, I'm a forgiven sinner. Jim Stanley is a sinner. Brent Austin, we're not up here on some moral high horse. We admit we are sinners. However, we are forgiven sinners, and dear listener, you can be too. So would you admit to God in your heart right now and say, Lord, I know I've resisted your Holy Spirit. I've done the wrong, and I'm sorry for my sins, and I deserve judgment, but I'm asking you for mercy. Now, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? And not just in some abstract sense. You're not just saying, oh, historically, there was a man named Jesus 2,000 years ago. No, what belief means is you realize, please realize this, he died for you. The Lord Jesus loves you. He does love you. Please accept God's promise. And then you ask him. And the way you do it, and listen to this, I'm going to lead in a prayer. The Bible tells us we repent. Now, what that means is you turn from sin to Christ. Are you willing right now, wherever you are, maybe you're driving, just keep your eyes on the road, but from your heart to God, pray something like this. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner, and I am sorry for my sins, but I believe Jesus is the Son of God, and I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. So, Lord, I put my faith in you. Please wash my sins away. Save me now, and please help me to follow you as long as I live. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Jim, if people prayed that prayer sincerely to God, he heard them, and he saved their soul. That's amen. What the gospel promises.
All right, folks, we'll be back with more here on Exploring the Word and the ninth chapter of Romans on AFR.
Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we've removed the letters ing. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical.
That's a great song to follow up the moment we had just before going to the break. And folks, if you need to talk to someone about Christ and you'd like more information about what it was Alex was talking about, there's a ministry called needhim.org. I know a lot of folks like to chat, so you can go to needhim.org. If you want to talk to somebody, that number is 888-633-3446. It's 888-633-3446 is the number for needhim.org. Now, however, I bet you folks want to give us a call here at 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. And that will get you through here on the air. And Alex, you know, we get testimonies from people who, because we take time to invite them to come to know Christ, that they do, that they take and they do the prayer. They want to know more about Christ. And so I always find that to be just a really good thing.
Amen. Amen. We do love to take the questions. And, you know, Bert and I just turned in the manuscript for our third book that'll be out next fall on prophecy and Bible questions. So that's 300 questions that we've now been able to answer in book form. If you ever want to email a question in and your question might become the subject matter for a future show, you may email us word@afr.net. That's W-O-R-D, word@afr.net. And of course, when we're live like today, you can call in at 888-589-8840. But Jim, I've got to say, I have learned so much answering questions, and we have got the most astute, sharpest radio audience anywhere, I think. And we get some, Bert would agree, we get deep, insightful questions from the Exploring the Word AFR audience.
Amen. You know, we really do. And it's, like I said, when folks send emails to word@afr.net, I'll answer some of those, and then also we'll take some, and we'll have recorded programs that we answer those questions. And then from time to time, we just have one that, like now, we could use as we wait for phone lines to fill up. But right now, Alex, we're going to talk to Robert in Texas. Robert, good afternoon. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello, how you doing? Hey, I was going to ask you Friday, I think it was Friday when y'all gave the questions, and somebody was talking about the Trinity. Mm-hmm. And a man had called up, and he said, I don't know if his name was Bob, that, you know, it was right in the end of the show that he can be Bob. He's a father, so he's Bob the Father, and sometimes he's a husband or, hey, boss, but the Lord is not titles, right? He's not. Because the way that man explained it on the radio, he was saying, you know, he's different. He plays different roles, like he's a father or a son or a friend, but the Trinity is not like that, right? It's not titles.
Yeah. And I remember I was thinking about that because, you know, I'm a son and I'm a brother and I'm a husband. So in a way, we could make an analogy like that. But do you know, Jim, I don't really know that there is a perfect analogy or comparison for the Trinity, because God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they're eternal. They never change. Mm-hmm. And there's one God, and yet the way God has revealed himself, clearly there is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one. That's why I would encourage people, I didn't mention this Friday, but I would, the song Holy, Holy, Holy.
Amen.
It is such, I mean, that song is a piece of art. It is so profound. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. I don't know that there's a fully accurate comparison of anything in this world, Jim. Do you?
No, I don't. And, you know, I've used this before, and I don't say that it's great, but it helps us. We try to visualize God. You know, we're a very visual people. We want to know. We have to know. We think we have to know every little thing. And so, and we do like to label stuff, you know? And so for me, it comes back to an apple pie or a cherry pie, if you will, and you take and you cut it into three slices. Okay, mm-hmm. You've cut it, especially with the cherry pie, you may have cut it, but all you see are lines of demarcation. Mm-hmm. You know, you see where those slice lines are, but underneath that crust, it's still waiting for you to get in there. And so when I think about the Trinity, I think of it sometimes when I try to visualize it, that visual comes back to me. And it's one of those things that, you know, if we seek to know all three persons of the Trinity, I think we get deeper and deeper into God. Because think about it, God the Father, he knows about our grief. Mm-hmm. He gave his son, and the son died. When we think about the son, he knows the joyful love of the Father who received him back into heaven. Yeah, I mean, think about that. And then when we see the ministry of the Holy Spirit is there. Why? So that we can have a relationship with Christ. And mm-hmm. So, yes, sir, there are three persons, but it's all one. And yes. So That's my take on it.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Hey, folks, the number, if you've got a Bible question, Jim Stanley and I will do our best to give you a biblical, factual answer. The number is 888-589-8840. Jim, where should we go next?
Well, we're going to head to Tennessee, who had a good weekend, and we're going to talk to them. Chris from Tennessee, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, man, I just want to call you, and I don't know if I'm going to... That Luke that I suggested, 8:3:10, 5:3:10, where I talk about the woman, which is the bridesmaid, and in the Hebrew, them people thought the word was a piece of silver. That goes back to what in Psalms it says that his word is like a piece of silver, right? All right. When we see that, you see the 10, and she loses one of them, so she's got 9 left. Now, in today's modern Christianity, we study only 9, right? Because a lot of people say that the Sabbath wasn't repeated, which I think is wrong, because Jesus in Luke 4:16, it was his custom to come in on the Sabbath and to teach in the synagogue. So if he did that for 3.5 years, that was many Sabbaths. And if you see Paul over in Corinth, when he was there for a year and 6 months, his custom was to do the Sabbath. Well, see, the way I believe that when y'all talk about the law being abolished, to me it was the confrontation that Jesus was having with the Pharisees.
Okay,
that
Chris,
they were misusing.
Chris, let me step in there a second. I don't think that neither Alex, Bert, or myself, or Jeff would tell you the law was abolished. That's not what I say, and I believe it's not what Alex would say, and I'll let him speak for himself. But Christ didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. And because of his fulfillment in that, that's why we're able, as Romans just mentioned, that we're able to see grace and mercy instead of having to work towards the law. Alex?
Yeah, not abolished, but fulfilled. And the completion of Jesus, of God's law, means that what we couldn't do, and people might strive and want to think that they have worked their way into God's graces. No, the Bible says that if we offend in one point, we're guilty of all. But Christ, who completely fulfilled the law of God from the cross, when Jesus said, "It is finished," he, in his life, in his ministry, in his words, and certainly in the atonement on the cross, he completely fulfilled the law. And by putting our faith in Jesus, his fulfillment of the law is attributed to us.
Amen.
Now that's grace, isn't it?
Absolutely. Chris, thanks for your phone call this afternoon. We sure appreciate it. And thank you for your comments as well. We're going to talk to Alan calling from Arkansas. Alan, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank y'all so much. Just wanted to first say, thank y'all for y'all's show. God bless y'all. Y'all have really, I love listening to y'all's show every day. I always learn something and have questions and dig into the word a little bit deeper. My question today is a little bit on why, as a Christian, we are, I guess, bound to stand with Israel when the Jews denied Jesus, and really in the New Testament, there's not a lot about the Jewish people as far as us Christians. You know, because they denied him, it was given over to the Gentiles. So I'm just trying to work this out a little bit, and if you could give me some more scripture that I could read that might tie into that.
Great question. You know, here's the thing, and Paul, we're going to get into this in Romans chapter 11, and we believe, and also, by the way, Galatians, like Galatians 3:17, that the unbelief of Israel does not make the promises of God to, I love the way the King James renders this, to none effect. you know, hath Israel's unbelief made the promises of God to none effect? And Paul says, no. Now, here's the thing. Back in Genesis 12, 1 and 2, God promised Abraham that I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And here, what's interesting is, like in Romans 9, 12, the elder will serve the younger. Here's the thing. Jim, salvation is personal, but yet it's also, in many ways, the promises of God to Israel were corporate. I believe, and this is very key, that one day Israel will occupy their land in a state of belief. And here's the thing, just like even though March of 70 AD, Israel was scattered, dispersed, and for 1900 years, there was no Israel. And skeptics used to, 200 years ago, skeptics would say, oh, clearly the Bible must have gotten it wrong. Israel's not been around for 1900 years. Well, May 14, 1948, David Ben-Gurion was the first prime minister. Israel was reborn. Do you know, within minutes of reconstituting as a nation, then President Harry Truman said the United States recognizes the sovereign nation of Israel. And so we recognize Israel, the nation, their right to exist, their right to self-defense, because the covenant promises of land and a remnant, they're still, it's all going to come to pass, Jim. Now, Christ is risen, salvation is available personally, just like from the first century to the present moment. Personally, any human who calls on Jesus Messiah can be born again. But the national covenant promises of land and restoration and even eventual belief, those promises to Israel, Jim, I still believe, just as they have been coming true, every one of God's covenant promises to the nation of Israel will someday come to fruition.
Amen. I believe that absolutely. Folks, this is Exploring the Word on American Family Radio, and we're going to talk to David calling from Arkansas. By the way, Alan, thank you for your call. David, welcome.
Good afternoon, sirs. Thank you for taking my call. I think this is the program I was listening to last week, and someone said something to the effect that they had a daughter or something that read Cherokee or Navajo or something like that, but they couldn't find a Bible. Is this the right program?
Even if it's not, it's good to know.
But,
yeah.
But okay, let me tell you this. I'm with the Gideons International.
Amen.
And the Gideons have a free website. Go to Gideons, G-I-D-E-O-N-S, .bible.is. Put that on your phone or computer. This is to everybody.
I tell you what we'll do, David, is we will link to that on our Facebook page because a lot of folks are driving and they can't write that down, but they can come back to afr.net and see it there listed with the podcast for today. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, and there's over 2,000 languages on that app right now. And every 3 or 4 days or so, they'll add more languages to that. And so you don't have to do anything to get the updates. It'll come to you automatically. Most languages, if it's got a speaker-looking thing, it'll read to you. So anyway, it's a great resource for everybody.
Well, David, thank you for your service with the Gideons. I can remember, and I think I still have, a green New Testament with Psalms that I got my first day at college. The Gideons were there on campus passing them out. So thank you for your service, Alex.
Amen. Well, we love the Gideons. We have a lot. As I travel the country, Jim, I meet literally every month, almost every single weekend, I'll meet Gideons that listen to this program, and they are wonderfully circulating the Word of God. And yeah, like the caller said, in many, many, many languages. And so praise God for their work to get Scripture into the hands of people, no matter the locality.
Amen. Folks, this has been Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. That was Dr. Alex McFarland. I'm Jim Stanley. Linda, Chris, you folks send us an email to word@afr.net, word@afr.net, and we'll try and help you with your questions there, or call back in tomorrow afternoon. As we continue exploring Romans 9, we'll pick up around verse 30. Have a great afternoon. Thanks for listening to American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.